And welcome to the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast, everyone. This is episode 46 on Tuesday, the 16th of Feb, 2016. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome along to our podcast where we count down things to do with movies and TV shows so you don't have to make those difficult choices yourself.
Damn straight. You know, today on the show, everyone, we are doing a review of Deadpool.
Wow, are we ever? And what a film it's been.
Damn straight. How's it been doing?
Well, it's been doing very well, and we'll talk about that when we get into the review. But it was a film that carried such a huge amount of weight and baggage, and R-rated comic book film.
Of a character that has already proven to not be that popular on the screen from Wolverine and shit like that. Yep,
played by an actor who also fucked up the Green Lantern.
Yes, and you know, makes mention of it in this movie.
So on paper, at least in theory, this film shouldn't work, but we'll get to that soon, because before then, we got to get into our regular segment, I believe, something we call Check It Out.
Fucking check it out! Check It Out is the segment where Paulie and I just check out new and exciting news about movies and shit like that.
Yeah, we effectively tell one another to check this out, and by proxy or definition, you will be checking it out with us. So how about I let you know what I've been checking out, or want you to check out this week? Michael Bay's Transformers movie series. Would you consider yourself much of a fan?
I would not.
You and seemingly most of the world. Yet, you know, however, these fucking films keep making bank after bank.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, I should have been a fan, because I liked the cartoon when I was a child. And I love the idea of him coming back. But then it went on to be a complete fucking mess of a movie where I didn't know who was doing shit, what, where. I just stopped watching them.
I have a small affection for the first one. I don't mind it. I don't even hate the latest one with Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
But it's not a good series of films, and everyone would agree. Yet they keep making money. And so much money that they've just announced Transformers 5, 6, and 7.
Damn.
Now, clearly we have both Marvel Cinematic Universe and the DC Universe and the recent massive success of The Force Awakens to thank for this, because news has since broke that the second of those films, potentially Transformers 6, is going to be a Bumblebee spin-off. That was my reaction.
I can't imagine how much I'm not going to watch that.
Let's just start with, you know, okay, it's already a ropey kind of premise. And let's just isolate one crappy little character that nobody gives a shit about and give it its own film.
No, arguably he's sort of one of the mainstays of the thing, but who gives a shit, man? Maybe I'm just too old now. Fuck it.
There you go, that's all my news is. I just thought the rest of the world should also laugh along with us.
Yeah, well, you know, for my check it out today, man, I just want to talk about the new Batman vs. Superman trailer. Did you see it?
I've stopped watching the trailers.
Okay, that's fair enough. But this new trailer that I saw, which basically I got alerted to from the Epic Film Guys Facebook page, because those guys are fucking Johnny on the spot with new shit that happens, man.
This Check It Out segment is completely and utterly superfluous. If you listen to their show, look at their website and listen to our show.
I think I got news, I'm good to post it, and then it's like already there. I'm like, fuck.
So, well done to Nick and Justin.
Okay, but for this new trailer, right? I know you haven't seen it, but I'll just tell you what I'm impressed about. It sells the action, finally, like, of Batman kicking ass. Because I was afraid he's bulky. I know he's supposed to be an older Batman and shit like that.
Yep.
But he is absolutely killing it to the point where he hits some dude so hard his face goes through the floor. Through the floor. And that's just cool. That's just cool, man. And there's a quick cut of Clark Kent boning Lois Lane in a bathtub. You know, that's not like Clark. And it is. He's even got clothes on. It's messed up. And then Bruce Wayne is hitting on Wonder Woman. You know?
Do you get to hear Wonder Woman speak in this trailer?
Absolutely.
You do? Okay. Because that was what people were sort of waiting for from the previous 74 trailers, that she just sort of appears there and stands there and doesn't say a word.
One of the things I like about this show is that although they appear to be basically showing you the entire movie, I think they're smarter than that. I think there's a lot more to it, if you can imagine such a thing.
So it's going to need to be a 4.5-hour film.
No. Look, Zack Snyder pissed me off a little bit with Superman, okay? It was better than I thought it was.
Man of Steel?
Sorry, Man of Steel, yes. But, I don't know, I'm hoping this one really owns. And there's even a shot where Batman blocks a punch of Superman's, and it's a moment. It's sweet, man, it's sweet!
I know, you're very excited.
Massively excited, my girlfriend and you, less so.
I know Nick and Justin are very excited. I'm going to bring the conservative temperance to this.
As always.
Yeah. Let's see, come March 24th, 25th, whenever it is.
Yep.
Which, by the by, will be our first, well, our 1 year anniversary show. So that's going to be a big episode, but we're jumping ahead about 6 weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to get us La Premiere seats for that shit. So, all right.
All right, there it is. That's our Check It Out segment. Before we go any further, let's drop in a couple of promos from hashtag Pod and Family on Twitter, a great network of shows that we are happy to be a part of, or a great movement of shows that we're happy to be a part of. Let's see what you think of these.
Let's hear it.
It's a day that ends in Y, so it's time to listen to Wisecracking with Winter. Hi, I'm your host, Mike Winter, Minnesota's number one self-acclaimed comedy podcast. I have on a variety of guests, paranormal investigators, lawyers, political pundits, softcore porn writers and producers, my dad, stand-up comedians, and did I mention my dad?
Yeah.
Give me a listen on iTunes, Google Play, or my website, getwisecracking.com. Thanks for taking the time to listen, and you stay classy out there.
News on the mark.
The year 2014. Two best friends set out on a journey to produce the best content related to all things film. In 2015, they founded a podcast to share their passions with the world. From rants, lisps, and beer, to trailers, challenges, and premieres, Nick and Justin have you covered. Find the Epic Film Guys podcast at epicfilmguys.podbean.com and follow the show on Twitter. And we'll see you at the movies.
We went to the movies this last Friday evening and saw the new release Deadpool, starring Ryan Reynolds, directed by Tim Miller, and written by Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick from, obviously, a comic book that's been around, you would know better than me, Wayne, but quite some time.
But yeah.
This was, as we were saying a little bit earlier, a big gamble by Fox to kind of throw out a character who'd already been in a really crappy film.
I actually didn't mind that movie, to be honest with you, but the Deadpool character was completely decimated.
Right.
From its, like, it had almost nothing to do with it, with itself.
Ryan Reynolds did play that character as well, which is intriguing.
Yeah.
And then he had another stab at being a superhero comic book film star as the Green Lantern.
Ill-fated Green Lantern.
Which was also garbage, so initially people were like, yeah, okay, Deadpool.
He's done his dash, yeah.
But then the marketing came.
Well, isn't that interesting? I mean, because there's actually been... I think he was on a talk show and he was saying that the leak of the initial Deadpool test footage, he's kind of saying, I'm 70% sure I wasn't the one who leaked it. You know, he's kind of saying that him or his two producers or whatever.
Yep.
But that's awesome.
Yep.
It's like, okay, fuck you, studio. We'll release it ourselves because we have a thing called the internet.
Yep.
And fuck, we might have to force you to make it.
We have a better understanding of how these things work than you do.
Exactly.
Maybe. Yep. I think everyone would agree the marketing has been exceptional. It's been released on Valentine's Day weekend. We are recording actually on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I know more than a few people who are planning on going to see this film as a bit of a date film.
Boy, they're in for a shot.
Well, I don't know, because I actually think there is a fairly strong romantic, in a weird kind of
subversive counterculture kind of way. You could call it a love-ish story, but it's just the motivation.
It's definitely a stronger romance element to this film, I think, than most comic book films.
I'd go along with that.
And yet, it's still overly violent for a comic book film.
Yep.
When I say overly violent, most of the ridiculous violence is done in the first 30 minutes.
Yeah, gratuitous.
And it's also, and this is the best bit of the film, by far, extremely funny.
That is absolutely what it is. It's almost a comedy action.
I would agree. I think this is a comedy film first. Even though on paper it's an action comedy,
yeah.
This is a comedy action.
Yeah, and which is good because I think that's the whole thing about the character. He literally does not stop talking all the way through this movie.
That's very true.
Yeah.
And he's in virtually every scene bar a couple of moments where the nefarious characters are setting up their machinations.
Mm.
So tell us, what did you think overall of Deadpool?
Yeah, overall, I definitely like this movie. As you know, comics or comedies are my favorite genre, so if something can make me laugh, love the shit out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that this has absolutely the best opening credit sequence I've seen in many, many years. They're playing Angel of the Morning over it. I love that song.
It was an excellent sequence.
Oh, it's really, and it's full of that kind of irony, and it's really sets the pace for the movie. So I thought that was the shit. And you and I have not spoken about this movie. No. We saw it together, but we walked out, said about 2 or 3 sentences to each other, and then returned to attending to our women.
Yeah.
And
that full-time job.
That's right. So we haven't really spoken about this. No. The one thing that you and I were thinking about, or I think you said to me, was that, look, this is a good, great comedy. Maybe not the greatest action.
Yeah.
I would probably have to go along with that. The action in it was good, but it wasn't like, it's definitely, I don't know, because it was so funny, maybe they didn't have enough room for really, really killer action. But I'm kind of okay with that. I'm kind of okay with that because these were genuine belly laughs when you hear, like, when the gags pretty much hit. Ryan Reynolds makes the film. He's absolutely, like, it's basically a passion project for him, I would say, almost.
Yeah, he gives it his all, and it's like watching his character on all the way back in Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place.
Yes, Berg.
Ramped up to 12.
Which is basically, I think, probably who he is.
Yeah.
Look, the thing that makes me love this movie is, apart from all the stuff I just said, this is kind of what an R-rated superhero movie should be.
Yeah.
You know, it's action-packed, it's got some real poking fun shit happening, and it hits. So I say, great movie.
Okay. I'm a little bit more reserved than that.
Yes, go on, yeah, please.
And for the primary reason which you've already said, which is the film, to my mind, kind of blows its wad very early. The first 20 minutes of the film are stellar.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching this going, we are in a whole new zone.
Yes, yeah, it is kind of it's not a new kind of movie, but it's, yeah.
Because, like you said, the credits are great and are full of jokes themselves. Mm. The camera works. You know, it's all CGI, but it's still really, really
very impressive.
Engaging. It's kind of like that Swordfish. Do you remember that film, Swordfish?
Yeah.
With that explosion
in the beginning, camera with goes, the camera whipping, yeah. Yes.
So it's that taken to the nth level, or totally. 10 years more technology behind
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get Ryan Reynolds mugging it up and being genuinely funny and engaging with the taxi driver. And then they bust into the best action scene of the whole film, which really weirdly takes place in the first 7 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, and then it's flashback for a bit, then it's forward, which I don't mind at all.
And I didn't mind the structure of the film, which is, okay, so we get through this most of this action scene, then we, how did I get here? And back he goes. And then there's a moment in that narrative where it lulls and we're back on the bridge where the fight's taking place. And then we're back in time again and back and forth, until for the last act, the film timelines emerge. And then we're progressing forward with him for the final confrontation.
Yeah.
That's all fine. But nothing ever gets close to those first 20 minutes.
Yes, it does blow its wad a bit. And I think also, if we're talking about what we think didn't work about the movie, I would say the weakest part of this movie is actually the villain.
Which is always the case, right? Is there ever been a good... Oh, apart from maybe Thor and Avengers.
Yeah, there's a few... No, it happens. When it happens, it's great. But, like, this particular villain, he wasn't as menacing as he perhaps needed to be. Then again, it's very hard to play in that room with Ryan Reynolds when he's being funny the whole time. But what actually bothered me more about the villain was that he didn't have the same powers as Deadpool.
Right.
But he kind of seemed to.
I'm glad you brought this up, because this was my concern as well. So the villain is Ajax. Yes. Apparently is a character from the comics. I don't think you read Deadpool, and I certainly haven't. He's played by an English actor named Ed Skrein.
Yes, who played the original Dario Naharis in Game of Thrones.
Right, and he was also in The Transporter Refueled.
Get out, really?
He was the new Jason Statham.
What? I never saw that.
Neither did I.
Okay.
Anyway, so they've cast him clearly for his looks and his kind of English magnetism, which you don't really get much of.
Not much.
But worse than that is he specifically says at an early point in the film, I don't have your recuperative powers, your healing powers.
I wish I did.
My transformation, because basically Wade Wilson, that's his name,
yep,
I think.
That's him.
He gets cancer and he agrees to undergo this experimental procedure which will change his DNA, and as we understand from...
Wakes up his mutant gene.
He wakes up his mutant gene and he becomes Deadpool. And
coincidentally, is the same mutant gene that gives Wolverine his restorative powers.
Right, and that's fine because that totally works. He says, I don't have that restoration, but it burnt out my nerve ending, so I don't feel anything.
Right.
That's okay.
That's fine.
And the implication seems to be that he doesn't feel anything emotively either, right?
Yes. Well, perhaps you're right, yes.
Well, that was the way I kind of... I don't feel anything at all.
And actually, so good point.
He's
very
deadpan through the whole...
Yes, which is going to hurt you as a character, yes.
But then, 5 minutes later, he's annoyed and angry enough to torture him further. And I'm like,
yeah.
I don't know. But worse still is later in the film, he's just bouncing back from shit that would stop an elephant in
its tracks. And if you just didn't feel pain, it would still be very distressing. Like, as in, would stop you from moving spryly.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if all your bones break, you still, yep. you know...
You're still like, oh, well, I gotta get this fixed.
Yeah, unlike a scene with Deadpool where he is showing pain and like, oh, this really hurts when he gets bones broken, but then they heal and restore.
Yeah, yep. exactly. So, and also, like, the bad guy seems to be particularly strong. And that's fine if that's... Yes. But he didn't mention that was the thing that woke up. So who knows? It was a little bit ill-defined, and it bothered me. And
the other thing that bothered me, to a lesser extent than that, I think that was the worst part of the film, other than the, oh, come on, can we get another great action scene to wind things up here, was the inclusion of two Z-grade X-Men.
I would have to agree with that, because Colossus, who I don't really know this. I'm not really a Marvelite, but...
Was he in some X-Men films?
In one of the older X-Men films, they showed him when he was young.
Okay.
Usually it does not look like that. He looks like this. He's that steel armor all the way through the movie. Normally he can change back and forth.
So he's completely CGI in this film.
Yes.
Because he never doesn't have the steel armor. Right. Yep. And then Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
I know nothing of this person. And also didn't care for her.
No. Neither. Oh, look, Ryan Reynolds bouncing off her was funny.
Yes, and that's obviously what she was there for, but yes. she's not supposed to be a likable character. Ryan Reynolds,
Deadpool bouncing off her.
Yep. And I think you and I did talk about this. Gina Carano from Haywire.
Yeah, which I had to lean over to you and ask, is that Gina Carano from Haywire? Yeah, because she is now clearly going for the heavyweight in whatever division she's in.
She's just huge. I wouldn't say this to her because she would kick my ass! But, yeah.
And maybe her training is that she's now reached that next level, and I'm not knocking it. I mean, it doesn't do it for me, but... But that seems to be purely the reason Colossus is in this movie, to give her, or she's the only reason in this movie, if she's in the movie, is to give these two a fight.
Yes, and you can buy it because she's fucking huge. And it's like, I don't know, it smacked a bit of, I don't know if this is all training weight.
But why did it have to be a female... That's stunt casting, to my mind. She does nothing in this movie to justify her presence.
It'd be a bit of a sausage fest without a couple of chicks in there.
Well, we've got Morena Baccar in as Deadpool's girlfriend and...
Love interest, sure.
Love interest, and yeah, she's nice, and she plays that role nicely.
Yeah, look, I don't think it
hurt. Doesn't have a lot to do.
But she's the chick. So, that's fine. That's all completely fine. Having these female...
Well, we had Negasonic Teenage Warhead. Why do we need to have another token? I don't mean that in the sense of... Let's have as many female characters as we can, as long as they're developed and are there for a purpose.
Yeah.
What's she there for?
I don't know. I think it gave a little bit of color to the bad guy.
Yeah. Like it's like stunt casting. Yeah. Oh, we have a female who can fight. Okay.
I don't think it hurt it necessarily, but it's just something we can talk about. But I mean,
True, and we are.
I don't think that it's like a terrible move or anything. I thought it was fine. I was just shocked.
I would rather have had her up against someone who was real so we could see her physical prowess rather than all be this CGI character fighting her. And it just those fight scenes never look good. It's just big punch after big punch and people being thrown across this fucking shipyard.
That's actually a good point. She is actually a professional MMA fighter, and she didn't really bust any moves. Nope. It was just kind of flying through the air. So, I get it. But, I mean, like I said, I don't think it hurt it much. I mean, are we giving ratings? Do you think it's there?
Yeah, look, there's not too much more I want to say about it. I don't want to sound like I'm really down with him because I'm not. I enjoyed this film. Mm-hmm. I think it's very good. It's not the second coming of action films. It is the funniest film I've seen in a long time.
Agree.
And on that basis alone, it gets a big, huge tick for me, gold star from me. I just hope that, what I hope will be the inevitable Deadpool sequel, which comes around, because we should talk about that, the box office thus far. Now, we record here on a Sunday afternoon, usually Perth time, which means it's about Saturday night in the States. We don't have any data at all for Saturday yet. So, as of Friday...
Almost opening night, yeah.
Yeah, so it opened Thursday previews, Friday. It had already made $60 million worldwide. 47.5 million, I believe, in the States.
That's huge.
So it's well on track to get the $60 million they were projecting and kind of hoping for, with $70 million being the upside. If this makes more than $70 million and doesn't have a 60% fall next weekend, you can bet your bottom dollar we're having a Deadpool 2.
Well, they even mention it in in the post credits thing, so they're obviously very confident. So it's definitely coming there.
And I hope so, because I want more films like this. Yes! More films that aren't just pitched at 8 or 9 year olds, that they have to be able to be entertained and not too shocking in the violence, and no swears and no, I mean, not there's a lot of sex in this movie, or there is, but it's all implied, really.
But there's titties and stuff. So it's
there was a nude scene. Yes. Yeah. Yep.
But that's, you know, to me, and that's what we're doing the countdown today. A proper R-rated action, whatever, which doesn't have as many rules, has more room to make you shocked, laugh, whatever. You know, like it's a richer experience. So
and it's nice because there are a lot of people like us who are adults that appreciate this kind of movie.
Yeah, and I know studios are like, yeah, but here the big bucks are the, you know,
PG-13,
18 to 35. Yeah, exactly. So. That I hate. That I hate as someone who appreciates movies, but I understand.
So this film could break their long-held sense.
Absolutely.
So I am rooting this film to succeed all the way. Good luck to Ryan Reynolds. Good luck to Deadpool.
Yep.
Let's hope it even cracks $100 million this weekend and has every studio scrambling to make
an R-rated.
Yes. More films like this. Cover all the bases. I'm not saying don't make PG-13 films. Of course there should be films made for kids that are of this ilk.
Yeah.
But then why not? Why can't we have this niche?
Exactly.
That allows us to really get our...
I think that's why movies like Kingsman and stuff like that, that's why this movie was allowed to be made, because someone said, you know, this shit actually made money, don't just throw it out. So
good point. Kingsman is a bit of a...
Yeah, one of those.
Well, we could go back 30 years, as we're going to do in our countdowns, we're coming up, and see a plethora of amazing R-rated films.
But things were different in the 80s. You got your Charles Bronson, you got your, you know, the Clint Eastwood, that kind of thing. Those movies were a lot more risky than what you see now. It's also a lot more rough.
Mm.
I remember these are the movies that my dad liked, so I watched them. You know, and it was like, oh, there's titties in this one, and there's that one, and you know, it was a harsher time. It was a less refined time.
Yeah,
so I mean, it became a lot, you know, nastier. But.
Sure. All right. Look, all that said, back to Deadpool. I'm giving this 3.5.
So am I. 3.5.
I'm surprised. I thought it was going to be high for you.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, but it was, look, you know, I know you hate the 3.75, so I just went to 3.5. It could possibly go to 4 with subsequent viewings.
Yeah, I would happily get this, watch it again on Blu-ray and the like. So I wouldn't be rushing back to the movies to see it. There's too many other films to see at this point in time. So yeah, there you go. 3.5 stars, 7 out of 10 if you prefer, if you're the epic film guys, for Deadpool from us. All right, well, let's get into the next part of the show. But before then, let's hear one more promo from Pod and Family.
Hey guys, this is Pete from Paint It Black Podcast. A lot of people ask me, why should I listen to your show? How would you describe it? Well,
horribly offensive.
Balls to the walls.
A good time.
I don't know. Very unprofessional. I wouldn't be surprised if fucking Barney heard some screaming from next door.
Hey, yo, Fred, I got kicked out of the house. Can I stay with you guys for a little bit?
No, Barney. We're not friends like that.
You better go stay with Kazoo.
Yeah. Dum-dum, you should have said yes to your wife.
Can you imagine what Disney World would have been like had he lived longer?
No Jews?
It's the primary difference.
Yeah. I feel like he funded the Nazis in some way. Like, I can't prove it.
The first fucking model of their helmet had ears on it.
Oh, the Basketeer's coming over the hill. What the fuck's going on?
Dosan sounds like a Renaissance painter.
He was the fifth Ninja Turtle. He wasn't right in the head. They didn't really bring him out too much.
I'd like to fight the foot.
That's probably why they had all those stupid ass toppings.
Bubblegum.
Fuck, who let Dosan order the pizza?
I want a stink bug!
Who put Legos on this shit? Can I give you money for sex?
I would enjoy you making a transaction for a blowjob.
Can I get a receipt with that pussy?
Oh, yeah. How do I follow this?
Do you wash those briefs with starch?
Make that booty clap, why don't ya?
This is Paint It Black Podcast, and you can like us on Facebook, on Twitter at PIB Comics, and check us out every Monday on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean.com, and PodcastNation.net.
Our 46th countdown for the countdown is relating to R-rated action films, spinning off our Deadpool review. And what we mean by R-rated is not the Australian R-rated, which is restricted to 18 years and older. It is the American R-rated, which is, from what I understand, you have to have adults with you, so it's more like our MA type thing. Happy to be corrected, please let us know on Twitter if that's the case. Now, I don't know about you, Wayne, but this was an exceptionally hard mofo list.
Hell yes, I thought it'd be real easy, because you got 2 or 3, and whenever you hear a talk about it, you're like, 2 or 3 are definitely going to hit that list.
Yep.
Right? And then you go make that list, and this one was huge! I had to throw out a ton of class.
I haven't said this about any countdown we've done yet, but I reckon this should have been a top 20. We should have just dedicated a whole episode to 20.
It could easily have been a top 20. It could have been a top fucking 30, man, I'm telling you.
This is right in our wheelhouse. This is probably our shared favourite genre, as we said on the last podcast. Mm. I think we've mentioned once before on the show. This is the kind of film that brought Wayne and I together as to be friends.
Mm.
And I'd love to have included that film, but I just couldn't make room.
Not a good idea. Tango and Cash would love to have made that.
Yeah.
Again, I had to throw it out. That's how good this list is.
Yep. We also, by agreement, decided to exclude sci-fi action films.
Yeah, basically, even like, I don't know about you, did you exclude period films? Is there any periods in your thingy?
Yes, there's one.
Okay, for me, I was like, it's basically kind of, for me, present day, just, if it's a cop film, cop buddy film, that's fine. It has to just be an action movie which got an R rating and had elements in it which deserved the R rating.
I hope you're not jumping it all over another list we're going to have to do, which is the best cop buddy action films.
Yeah, no. There might be a couple in here, but only about, yeah, incidentally.
Of course, they would be in there. So, right off the bat, there's no Terminator, there's no Terminator 2.
That's right.
There's no Predator, there's no Aliens.
Anything to do with sci-fi, stricken from the...
There's no Starship Troopers, there's no Matrix.
Right.
Now, arguably, RoboCop.
I really wanted that to be in there, but I didn't think... I think that's in the future, yeah, sci-fi.
It's sci-fi. All of these films were excluded, so if you're looking for those, we apologise in advance. We would love to have got them in there, but one, we talk about most of these films in a lot of lists, so we just didn't want to go over the same films again and again, but two, we wanted to make it as pure as we could.
Yes.
So, they're your favourite R-rated action films. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm not sorry. Got a show to run, damn it. So, let me put my little...
Do you want to sing I'll Do It My Way?
Later. One thing I will say about this, though, is that there's a movie which I know is probably on your list. I, on purpose, discounted it from my list.
Okay.
Because we just talk about it so much, I didn't want to talk about it again. There's something else I wanted in there. True Lies. True Lies would basically hit, like, the top, you know, very, very high on my list, but... Man, we talked about that motherfucker like 4 or 5 times on this show.
Yep.
So just understand that when I give you my list, I think True Lies is the shit.
All right,
so it's up there, but I know it's not quite right for me to just exclude it because of the format. All right.
Well, it is on my list, so I'll carry the
flag. Yeah, give it. Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying, and I won't talk too much about it for that exact reason.
Yeah. Okay. So, what do you think? I'll go first.
All right. Knock us out with your number 10.
All right. My number 10 is a movie called Nico Above the Law. I'm kidding. No, the movie is actually... It is, though.
I was like, really?
Yeah, I know. This is it is actually a Steven Seagal movie, though. And it's March for Death.
Nice! Because I excluded this at the 11th hour.
I know. And you know what? There was this whole period in... When was that? The 90s? I don't know, right?
I think it was 1990, this movie.
Yeah, it was real early.
Hard to Kill was like 89.
Hard to Kill... I couldn't pick both of them, so I went with this one by a hair.
Yep.
By a Bees Johnson. It's because when this thing came out and everyone was talking about it and it was R-rated, so I couldn't fucking see it.
Yeah, we were
in like year 10 and shit, right? Finally saw it when it hit video, maybe, right?
Definitely videos. No way I got into the movies to see this.
Yeah, no, it was a pipe dream. So it comes out and it's all about, you know, these Rasta gangsters against Steven Seagal, who's an ass kicker himself. This is back when you could buy that Steven Seagal would move quickly, you know.
Hard as it may be for our young listeners to believe, 26 years
that
ago,
that guy used to be fucking
Steven Seagal was svelte.
And quick, and could run. But this movie here was so violent, with like people's arms getting broken, and snap, 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 and he's an Aikido master, so I always thought that was cool. And it was just the shit. March for Death was a real violent fucking movie, and you could totally buy it. And so, that's my number 10.
Nice peek, and one of our shout-outs from our listeners via Twitter did mention that film, or at least one old school Steven Seagal flick, please. So you've satisfied.
Good.
That was from the poop culture, you've satisfied them.
Excellent.
My number 10 is the one, so to speak, period action film that I went with. It's 300, directed by Zack Snyder.
Fair enough.
From 2006. It's the highly stylized retelling of the legend of the 300 Spartans who held against the massive Hordes. Persian army that was coming to invade their land and held on just long enough to let the rest of Sparta and his allies come together to repel the invaders.
300 was the shit.
Look, it's a gorgeous looking film.
Oh, yeah.
It's Zack Snyder really at probably his peak 10 years ago. Maybe we'll be saying something different in 6 or so weeks' time.
Hopefully.
But yeah, back then this film looked great from the get-go. It was stunning.
Amazing.
And the action sequences are awesome, including some great shots where the camera zooms in and then rips out and you see the horizontal progression of some of the warriors.
So cool. Yeah. And even like just the panning of the camera as the battle progresses.
Yeah.
Very cool. I know it's been done before, but it was the shit.
So, well, a great film, very entertaining, and with a satisfying ending to boot.
Right. So, good pick.
Thank you.
My number 9 is... There's a set of movies that I think of here. This is one of them. It's low on the list, but it's the one I had to pick. It's Con Air.
Oh, I forgot all about Con Air.
Yeah, see, because Con Air, to me, that whole Nicolas Cagean era, right, is a certain... I don't know. It was R-rated, and it was great, and I don't have any problems... Yeah, I have no problem saying that I love this movie, right? Stupid and stuff. I don't give a fuck. It was fun as shit.
Yep.
So, yeah, Con Air was like, I don't know, everyone knows Con Air, right? Don't even talk about it.
I think so. So, Simon West directed it, and what else we got? John Cusack, John Malkovich, Steve Buscemi.
Absolutely, we got... Rames. Yeah, that chick out of Total Recall. And yeah, but this is the...
Rachel Takotin.
I believe so, yes. But this is Nick at the height of his game.
Yep.
Worked out and everything, you know, and that was just really a ton of fun.
If you haven't seen it, it's a film about a bunch of hardcore prisoners transported on a plane who, of course, break out on said plane, and the one innocent man amongst their mix is Nicolas Cage serving time for a crime he did commit, but really shouldn't be amongst these people.
Oh, God, it was the most, like, anyone would throw it out of court if they possibly could.
Yeah.
As if America is so, like, ready to imprison their fucking rangers and shit. Anyway, but that was it. Exactly. He's the good guy, and he shines. They even lit him in yellow to make him heroic in this show. So
many great sequences, so many great lines.
Totally.
This is action cinema at its pretty close to finest.
Yeah, as far as we're concerned, in people of our vintage.
Mm. How many years ago?
What was this? 1997.
Ooh, so almost 20 years ago.
God,
that makes me feel old, and it also makes me understand why Nick Cage is no longer any good.
Everyone burns out.
All right, my number 9 is arguably my most controversial choice of the list, and probably the one that most listeners won't have seen, as opposed to will have seen everything we're talking about.
Do go on.
It is a Japanese film from 2000, Battle Royale. I have mentioned it on the show before, on our book to film adaptations, directed by Kinji Fukasaku. That'll do.
Yep.
And it's an incredible story of where they take random classrooms of 14, 15-year-old kids and subject them to a game where they have to kill each other till there's one person standing. It's one of their ways of keeping social order in this land, and for other complicated sort of political reasons, and the novel has a quite a heavy-handed political message to go with it too, which I only just recently read. It's entertaining as all fuck, as long as you can get past the discomfort that these are kids, effectively, who are killing each other.
Yeah.
Now, of course,
I've not seen it.
It's well worth.
I think
obviously.
I do. It's definitely on my list.
Obviously, if it's an R-rated action film, you know, you're of a certain age when you watch this movie.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure, like most films, the people who are cast in it aren't 15; they're more like 18, 19, 20.
Mm.
So it kind of mitigates it to some degree, but nevertheless, they're all running around in the typical Japanese school uniforms to emphasize their youth. And it does make it hard to watch in places.
Okay.
But it is a great example of what people will do to survive when put to...
So it's nothing like Hunger Games.
Yes, well, I think I mentioned that before as well. Yeah.
All right. Well, my number 8 is, in fact, another Nicolas Cager. And it's because I loved it.
It might be exactly the same number 8, therefore, that I have.
The Rock?
Oh, no! It's not!
Oh! I know what you mean. There's a few of these, and they're kind of interchangeable. But The Rock I enjoyed more because of his stupid, Stanley Goodspeed. You know, that whole thing where he's like, he loves his job, and he's shooting stuff, and he's a Beatles fan. He goes and buys a record. Because apparently I think that was all invented by Cage. They were going to make him this sort of surly, not hardened guy. And he said, what if the guy loved his job? What if he this? What if he that? And obviously that's the way he went.
Wow, he used to be on top of his game then, didn't he?
He was. Like, he actually was making good decisions.
So this is 5 years after Con Air. This is 2002. This is directed by Michael Bay.
Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Who, everyone, you know, they like to hate him and stuff like that. But I like his stuff back then more than I do now.
This is a great classic action film.
Yeah.
Funny as it is to say, a film from 14 years ago is classic, but yeah.
No, it is. And the whole, you know, Navy SEALs and that bit, and then there's Sean Connery and Welcome to the Rock and shit like that. That is all really good. And then bouncing around the streets of San Francisco, really complete action, and always a favorite. If it's on, I'll watch it.
What a great cast. So, like you said, Sean Connery, Nick Cage, Ed Harris.
Ed Harris, man. He kills that role.
And even Michael Biehn in a bit of a cameo kind of role as well, so...
No, it's just always been one of my favorites. So, The Rock.
Well, I've also just given a massive spoiler for my list. So my number 8 is Face Off.
Ah, yeah.
Nicolas Cage and John Travolta in one of the most ridiculous premises to a film ever made, where effectively John Travolta plays this, I don't know if he's FBI, CIA, whatever he's, law enforcement agent, and he is convinced, with only two or three people who know the story, to have his face taken off his body and put on Nicolas Cage's, who's this massive career criminal. Nicolas Cage's face gets put on John Travolta's body, and somehow their bodies become exactly the same.
Yep.
It's effectively,
that's also plastic surgery.
Yeah, okay. It's effectively a body switch film directed by John Woo. Say no more.
Yeah, this is absolutely on my list.
It is?
Absolutely okay. On my list.
Wow, 3 Nicolas Cage entries for you.
Hey, I'm a simple man. Oh, by the way, I do want to address something, people. Paul knows that some of you don't think he says the word premise correctly. He knows it. But this is how he says it, fuckers. So that's how it is.
Premise?
Premise.
Oh, premise.
Premise as opposed to premise. I just wanted to put it out there.
What do I say again? I'm going red.
You say premise.
Premise?
Yeah.
Premise? It's premise, right?
It's premise. Yeah, premise.
Sorry.
But no, this is a slip, and I love calling Paul out on this.
Thanks, Mike T. Yeah.
Anywho, right. Look, I guarantee there's people like nodding on their headphones right now.
All right, I'll attempt to get it right in future.
Nope, fuck all that.
No promises.
Fuck all that. I just wanted this out there. It's great radio is what it is. It's great radio. By the way, Face Off, back to that. This is well higher up on my list. Because to me, it's the one of the few times where you had a ridiculous action and you allowed yourself to go, yeah, he got off that boat island thing without a boat, or, you know, I'm sure he somehow got back to land. It was fine. This is a great fucking movie. So it's coming up on my list. I'll just tell you where. All right. My number 7 is The Raid. This has got to have hit your list.
It is, and it's way higher.
Of course
list,
it is. Yeah. I know you like this, but now, look, for me, again, this falls outside the usual sort of American big blockbuster thing. It's a foreign movie,
Indonesian film directed by a Welshman.
Yes.
Gareth Evans.
Yep. Which, you know, any studio would go, that's not going to work. But this thing kills, man! It's just such good action and filmed so well that you can actually tell what's going on. And it's violent, and it's nasty, and it's simple, but it's entertaining. And that's all you need to be in this kind of genre.
So, a slum in the middle of whatever Indonesian city, Jakarta, I'm not sure, but effectively where a drug lord plies his trade and a group of soldiers or SWAT members raid the building, getting to the top penthouse to get to him. Said drug lord becomes aware of the incursion and says to everybody in the 40... No, it's not 40 levels, whatever it
it's
is.
Yeah, it's tall.
Levels below him, 30 floors it is. Mm-hmm. Kill these guys and you will get yourselves as much drugs as you want.
Mm-hmm.
These people then all pull out guns and knives and any kind of weapon and start to take out the SWAT members one by one. But there is one dude who is Iko Uwais, who is incredible to watch on film, how quick he is. I know some of it might be slightly sped up, but not sped up in that ridiculous Jackie Chan kind of...
Not Bourne Identity way. Yeah. They sped it up. I'm like, fuck, they sped it up. No, this guy's nuts good.
He's so good. And one of the big bad guys in the film as well, Mad Dog, I can't remember his real name is, but he's incredible as well. There are so many iconic action scenes, and I can watch this movie again and again and again. If you've not seen this film, do not be put off by the subtitle. If you need to, find the American dubbed over version.
But don't do that.
No, I wouldn't recommend it.
Dub sucks.
But I'd rather you watch that than not see this film at all because of subtitles.
Absolutely. This thing is an action masterpiece. So that is
no hyperbole. I agree.
Yeah, look, the only reason it's this low on my list is because the rest of my list is pretty much fucking nostalgia. But I get it being higher.
All right.
Over to you.
My number 7 is also nostalgia-based. It's a film a lot like Deadpool in the sense that it starts so amazingly, impressively well and then kind of peters out towards the end, but so much goodwill has been generated by the first 3/4 of the film.
Yeah.
It's Desperado, directed by Robert Rodriguez.
Fuck yes! This is on my list too, man.
It is? Okay. We are crossing over a bit.
Yeah, and this was going to happen. This is going to happen. Yeah, so please, go on.
Antonio Banderas as the unnamed mariachi, who has a score to settle, busts into this town, starts killing people left, right, and centre. Wave after wave of bad guys come against him. He calls a couple of mates with their weapons and guitar cases. Chaos ensues. And if only the film had ended with the way it was shot.
God, yes! And you know what? It's amazing that we have this much fondness for the movie when, in fact, the ending was kind of a letdown.
Massively. It was cut. The whole last scene was cut because the MMPA, said, too violent, too violent, too violent. Robert Rodriguez says, just fuck it and just cut the whole thing.
God, that's got to be a hard decision
to make. I do not know how the film got away with it, yet it does. It's still a great movie.
It is, and that's saying something. Like you said, this was, for me, was so such a new idea. Like, to have basically what is kind of a Mexican old gringo western kind of thing. This guy rolls into town. And by the way, these guys, my friend, like you guys were all into the indie movie stuff much mm-hmm. more than me. So you knew about El Mariachi, mm-hmm. the original.
Yep.
The
Desperado is a remake of.
It's a
sequel, American sequel. Remake.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, sequel slash
no,
remake.
No, it's a sequel because in Desperado, they reference the scene in El Mariachi where his girlfriend got shot. So this is after that.
Okay, all right.
It's there, because then the third one, Once Upon a Time in Shitville, that's the third in the sequence. So.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so yep. It's... And then when you... The laser discs at the time had all the fucking... Like, the director's commentary, which is new to us, and he's talking, he does this little, you know, how he actually made this movie on the cheap. And it was just so cool. So Desperado is the bomb.
And if you need one more plus as to why to see it, Salma Hayek from 20 years ago.
We were all very hormonal about the situation. Mm. So...
Oh, Salma.
Even Bridget thinks so. I'm telling you. So, back to me then, yeah?
Yep.
All right, my number six is, this is the most nostalgia of nostalgia calls.
Okay.
Because to me, it was the R-rated comedy. Oh, sorry, action. That I saw, and it's Beverly Hills Cop.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, with all the, and back then, it was like, it was R because there was HD02 in there, but it was fuck. And it wasn't even that bad compared to today's standards. But I remember just loving it so much. This cop show is... has everything to make you interested, like the Beverly Hills thing and the murder and this and that. I just
fish
thought it was
out of
classic.
Water.
Yeah, and it's, you know, old hat now, but probably old hat then. But it was funny, and it made me laugh, and I just thought everything he did was cool.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. I was never a fan of these movies.
You were?
No.
Ah, see, it's all about...
They're okay. No, they're not terrible. Well, Beverly Hills Cop 3 is terrible, but...
That was
one and two... They're fine films. Just, yeah, it didn't really strike me in the same way you're describing for you.
Totally. But no, I get it. It's personal.
My number six is one of two sequels on my list. It is Lethal Weapon 2.
Totally, man. Totally. This didn't hit my list, but I had to cut it out.
Yeah.
But fucking yes.
I really like the first Lethal Weapon. I just think that they took what already worked magically well and upped the ante for number two.
Did they ever?
Made Murtaugh that little bit older and more...
Even though he looked better, he looked really old in the first one.
Yeah.
And this time he's kind of like Beefcake. He's like, oh, I'd hit that. You know? So, and then they're like, I'm too old for this shit, but you look younger, man. So, you know.
Yeah, so from 1989, and I guess this is the film that made the buddy cop action crime...
Pushed it back onto the agenda. Absolutely.
Yeah, probably reinvented it, or maybe arguably even created what we've had for the last...
Yeah, definitely. Everyone's influenced by Lethal Weapon if you're doing a cop show.
And we know how much Mel Gibson is reviled these days, but wow, back then he was a compelling lead. You know, he played crazy really well.
That guy was the shit.
Yep.
Like, back then, yes, things have gone very bad, but everyone liked him for a reason, man. That's because he could bring it.
Yeah. Then you have Joe Pesci added in as a small supporting role. And
which just ended up being a huge element.
It did, because it was around the same time, a little bit before, but around the same time as Goodfellas and the like. So you've got him playing this weedy, nerdy little dude, and then this shows you how good an actor Joe Pesci really is.
Mm.
Because in Goodfellas, he's a stone-cold psychopath.
Yeah, and then like Casino.
Scary,
yeah.
And then Casino thereafter as well. And he's got the most memorable scene where he loses his shit. Do you remember what it is in Lethal Weapon 2?
Yeah, they fuck you at the drive-thru.
Because they know you're going to be miles away before you realise you're fucked.
That's right. That was fucking class.
And here we are, almost 30 years later, reciting it to one another. Had that much of an impact. And massive spoiler for Lethal Weapon 2. I'm assuming everyone who listens to this podcast has seen it or has zero interest. They kill off the female lead.
Do you know the story with that? They shot one with Patsy Kinsett living.
Yes.
And you can find that footage online. And they shot the one with... It. And basically they found that in order to justify the big, the massive action scene at the end, they thought that if he needed something, that Riggs needed
push
something to push him over the edge.
Yep.
And that was it. And that's absolutely the right decision. Because it was such a shock when you saw it at the bottom of the fucking ocean or river or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And arguably they kill off the worst part of the film too, because she's not particularly good actress, although she is pretty.
Fucking beautiful, yeah. Man. She was fucking beautiful, man.
So this is a great, great movie. I can't recommend it highly enough. Lethal Weapon 2.
Straight up, solid pick, son.
Awesome.
My number 5 was Desperado.
Okay.
That's where I put it.
My number 5 is the only kind of comic book film I have on my list. It's Kick-Ass.
Yep.
Directed by Matthew Vaughn. Jeez, I love this movie.
Look, this was on my list, but I didn't know if it was because it was superheroes. And
yeah,
time.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
It's a tough... But sorry.
I left it there because what a wonderful movie.
It was. It really was.
And again, you've got to get past the fact that kids are involved with violence to
the girl was a little bit hard to watch because she's so young. Yes. But yes, go on.
Most of it she's perpetrating though, so I guess it's better than
that's what watching gets her you receive there. It. Matthew Vaughn takes one big risk with a lot of his movies. Like, you know, and they always pay off as far as I can see.
I reckon between you and I... Matthew Vaughn might be this podcast's favorite director.
I would probably have to agree with that, yes.
Because I don't think I've seen a bad Matthew Vaughn film.
No, I haven't seen that.
Stardust.
But everything else is fucking gold.
It's probably his worst film, but it's not a terrible film by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, see, I would agree with that.
Everything about this movie is awesome, particularly the action scenes, particularly the comedic elements as well.
Absolutely.
It's another film that balances it really well.
Well, just to get that level of violence, a little girl dropping the C-bomb, like they just threw all the rules out the window.
And I just realised, Nicolas Cage is in this movie as well.
See, the guy endures.
Wow.
So you know.
What we're basically saying here is Nicolas Cage is the best action star of all time.
Especially when he flips in the air to shoot someone in Face Off. just to improve his aim. Look, totally agree.
Your number four.
My number four is Face Off.
All right, as often happens in the countdown, we are now reeling through the back end. My number four is the previously mentioned True Lies. Arnold Schwarzenegger, James Cameron combining together in a wonderful way post the Terminator films.
Yep. If I'd let it in, it probably would have hit number one still. Oh, as, which is so boring that I said was always our number one, so that's why I let it out. But yep, no doubt.
Nothing more to say about it.
Totes. My number three is a real favourite of mine, Leon the Professional.
Now, okay, and I'm not going to have a go at you because I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
I ended up editing this out on the basis that IMDb calls it a crime thriller.
As opposed to an action.
Yes.
And even with all that stuff that happens at the end, I know.
And there is one big action scene at the end, but I would agree it's not really.
I'm a little on board with that.
But that said, it's such a good film, I don't have an issue.
Yeah, this thing is so cool, man. If you haven't seen Leon the Professional with Gene Reno as the king of hangdog cool, just this hitman who's just the bomb. And then Natalie Portman's first role. We've talked about it on the show before.
And
but
Gary Oldman being
Gary
awesome.
Oldman! Yeah, straight
so
up awesome.
Over the top amazing.
Yeah. That's it. Leon the Professional, it's the shit, go see it.
It's moments like these that I wish that I didn't have responsibilities to attend to, because I just want to go home and just watch all of these films back to back for the next 3 days.
Oh god, wouldn't
and
be great.
You know, get into a popcorn / sugar coma while doing it and just fuck off all responsibilities, because that's how good these movies are.
Damn straight.
My number three is the most recent film on my list, my favorite film from last year, and it's enduring. It's now poised to be a 5-star film. It is Mad Max Fury Road.
Wait a minute. This is futuristic.
But it's not sci-fi.
Okay, all right.
No, you're right. I probably should have edited out on that basis alone.
That's okay.
And included something else in, so
that's okay.
I take that criticism.
I'm fine with this. I want to hear it.
But I just want to... I mean, we don't need to talk about it anymore. If you listen to this podcast, you know how much I love this movie.
Damn
straight. It was my number one film from last year. It was Wayne's number lowly 6. Those are numbers that are forever stamped in my head.
Regardless, though, I do say, you know, obviously it was the bomb to even make 6 on my list, so yes, I agree.
Yeah, and you're probably right. I probably should have edited it, but somehow I just kept dodging
nope,
that.
Sometimes
part of
love
my head.
Is stronger than the rules, bomb. I get it. Oh, jeez. Well, you know what? Not to continue the theme too badly, but my number two, this is one that I couldn't leave out. It's actually Kingsman: The Secret Service.
Okay. And again, yeah, probably more crime, a spy.
Yeah.
Thriller.
But undoubtedly action, surely.
With action beats, yes.
That was pretty much all action. No?
There is one amazing action scene, for sure.
Dude, there's like the Colin Firth in the church. There's the
yes,
fucking... All that shit, man. Okay, fine. But again, this is why
you
may not hit your list.
It's right that... No, I didn't hit my list.
Right. Yep. So we talked about this a thousand times, but go ahead.
Well, my number two is The Raid.
Ooh, damn. All right, well...
That high on mine. So this is it. Our number one's the best...
Has your number one been mentioned?
Nope.
Neither is mine. This should be interesting.
Okay. Ooh.
Okay.
In that case, you have a lot to answer for, young man. Because when you hear what my number one is, and it's not on your best action films of all time, I expect you to walk out of the studio with your head hung in shame.
No, I'm very interested to see what it is, because my number one is maybe not what you would think. The reason I picked this number one is because, to me, it is the epitome of the R-rated action, certainly of that golden era.
Okay.
And it doesn't involve Nicolas Cage. But it was one when I saw it, I was like, wow, this is so cool because, again, of all the steps they could take, because it's an R. The movie is The Last Boy Scout. What? Yes, boy! That was it!
Oh my god.
It's totally, totally standing by this. You didn't like this movie? You
like
this movie?
No, I do like this movie, and it probably would have been edited in the 30 to 20 range.
No, this is the best, man, for me. This is the best of the R-rated actions.
Can
it's not
you,
the best action.
Can you please enlighten our listeners and me?
Totally.
As to how this wound up higher than every other film you've mentioned and all the ones that you cut from your list.
Because, absolutely, I'm totally fine to do that. Bruce Willis, right? First of all, playing it and bringing it as this great dude who's like a detective and then he's head or gut, you know? And he, this is where they were allowing people to blow up, people to get chopped by a helicopter blade, things like that. Not that I give a shit about the gore, but the way the movie felt and the way how every scene, to me, felt like it could go anywhere is what made me remember this movie. Because it had, no, like, I think they set the tone fairly early, but basically, I knew action movies had rules as to how far they could go, and this was the first one I saw where it went past that consistently.
It was probably at that age range where...
Yeah.
We were just about to turn 18 and we were seeing these films.
That
maybe
is
for
a
the
massive
first
factor here. So, anyone who's spewing at me right now, understand everything's relative. The. I'd moved from being not impressed to really massively impressed because I was easier to impress that back then. So, that's why.
Oh.
And you should, you know, I know I knew this would get this response from you. But I didn't think it would go 30 on your list. I think it would be up in the... I thought it might be in the 10. What?
No, definitely. No way in the 10. And all those sci-fi action films I mentioned would come so far above The Last Boy Scout. I thought your list was so solid and you just totally ripped the rug out.
Hey,
under me at the last second.
That's the thing about the countdown, son.
Well, my number one,
yeah,
if you are done.
Okay, here it is.
Stars the same man as is in your film.
No, I thought about this one. I know what you're going to say.
It's
go ahead.
Die Hard.
Yep.
Directed by John McTiernan from 1988. How the fuck is Die Hard not in your best 10 R-rated action
films? Happy to answer this question. Look, this was on my initial list and it got bumped. I told you there was all the class that got bumped. And Die Hard did set its own genre, I would say, at the time.
Oh.
And it is most definitely a classic, but I enjoyed these other ones more.
So right now, if we had the two films in hand, okay. The Last Boy Scout...
Pulling his fucking rationalization.
And Die Hard. And I said to you, you may watch one... For the rest of your life.
I'm going.
And the other
going.
One, you can never watch again.
Oh, but that's not the fucking... That's not the fucking... No wonder that. That's a different whole countdown. It's like, what one movie could you stand for the rest of your life?
No, you can't have to keep watching. I'm just saying that one of these will now be erased from your life.
Well, no. Now you're like, okay, well, which one wears up better over multiple viewings as opposed to which ones are better? Like, what did you enjoy more? So, no, that shit don't fucking play
so
at all, son. All
right, if it was just watching one now, you'd pick Last Boy Scout. But if you're acknowledging which one you'd rather watch going forward through the rest of your life, it
well,
would be Die
Hard. Might be easier. To watch. The other one is more like, because there's so many superlative moments, you could get bored of it. So, yeah, man, it ain't that cut and dried. Life ain't that easy.
I will be having a stiff drink when this is over, because this is utterly ridiculous.
Oh, you can have a stiff dick in your ass.
Again.
Uh, 40
stories of sheer adventure was what it said on the top of.
Oh, because fucking movie taglines.
No,
always.
No, but that to me is sticks in my head. Everything about this movie. Alan Rickman, rest in peace, was one of the best bad guys.
Bieber? Are you kidding me? He's the shit.
When we get around to that countdown, you can count on him being very high in my list.
Damn straight.
John McClane, as played by Bruce Willis, there is no more iconic role. I think
agree.
For him, and arguably in action cinema, Rambo, I guess, would be right up there. And
but I wasn't as impressed with this as I was with Last Boy Scout. I'm telling you, my shit's complicated. So, this is an excellent, excellent pick. And like I said, I had to move a whole ton of shit for this. So, this was one of them.
All right, well, there we are. So, we've ended on a contentious note.
As
the countdown so often does. And the contention once again brought by my co-host, Wayne.
And overreacted to by my other co-host.
Very nice. Well, look, do you want to mention any of your honorable
mentions?
Yeah,
I have such a long list of honorable mentions.
Just
I'm
spit
just
it out real
spit
fast.
A couple out. I said Hard to Kill. I love Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. That's an action.
No,
comedy?
No.
That's probably why I slipped it out.
I think
out.
It's more a thriller.
Yeah. Hot Fuzz?
Yeah.
I was really big on that. I said Lethal Weapon 2 too. And I don't want to say this, but Bad Boys 2... I liked, and then the ending sucked, so it wasn't good enough, but...
I almost talked to you about, let's include this to piss Christian off.
Yeah, right? He hates Bad Boys 2.
He hates it with an absolute passion.
In that case, I'm putting it back on my list.
Number 10. but then I thought, no, because it's just not that good.
No, it's this. I enjoyed it, and then the ending really sucked so many balls that I was put off it, but having seen the good bits that I like again, I do like the movie. So
okay.
What are you going to do? That's it.
That's it. I'll just mention three that we haven't already spoken about. Cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Tango and Cash. We did
Tango and Cash.
And Air Force One. With
really?
Hazard Ford. I like that movie.
Get off my plane.
Get off my plane. Yes, that's it.
That was a good movie.
Directed by Wolfgang Peterson.
Yeah, that was a good movie. Nice.
There we are. That's our countdown for episode 46. Wayne, do you want to hear a little bit about what Twitter had to say?
Hell to the yes.
So Jeff Gockel at the Dark U, YEW, said Dread.
Oh man, if we were on sci-fi, that shit's on my list.
Yeah, it was. That's a great, great pick and a great movie. Nick at Slick Nick, NIC666, said Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
And Saving Private Ryan. Now, I just excluded Saving Private Ryan because it's a war film.
Yep, totally. But, yes, great film.
What a wonderful film. Gabrielle Cancelo at G Cancelo said Deadpool was amazing. Mm. Yeah, so he's just throwing that straight out there. Luke Connolly at SoBLuke, said he did love Deadpool, but his all-time favourite would be The Departed.
Yeah, more of a crime drama.
Yeah, I would agree. Also, but more of a crime drama. But a great pick, absolutely. For sure. Regular contributor J.A. Giles at the J. Giles said Commando and Hard Target.
Now,
I understand the love for Commando. I was somewhat...
Hard Target?
Yeah, he defended himself, said it's a very underrated movie in his opinion.
This is the John Woo one with Jean-Claude Van Damme?
With Van Damme.
And his name is Chance because his mama took one. Is that it? His
I
name
don't
is
remember
Chance.
That line. But
I think it was.
I believe.
With the fucking mullet, right?
Yes, yeah.
Fuck!
Where they're being hunted in the bayou or...
Even John Woo says... Yeah, I mean, like...
It was his first English-speaking film, I think. John Woo's, yeah.
You know, but hearing that comment makes me kind of want to see it again.
You know what I remember about that movie? It was the first film that I saw in DTS at the cinema.
Really?
Yeah. I remember that whole being where we were.
Dolby! Yeah. Woo. Yeah.
And Faces and Aces LV Pod... Las Vegas podcast at Faces and Aces LV said The Matrix, and that would totally have been in mind had we not excluded
sci-fi. I'm
actually
glad
films.
We excluded sci-fi because God knows what kind of list I would have come up with.
Okay, then the previously mentioned Poop Culture, Rick Mancrush from their show said Predator, Commando, Lethal Weapon, and he did ask also for a Seagal flick, as I mentioned, so we excluded some of those on the basis of our old criteria, but otherwise a very great list. And then finally, the So Wizard podcast, which is a really great podcast, at So Wizard Podcast, said The Matrix, The Raid, Commando, Total Recall, and Die Hard. So great selections there.
Definitely.
Guys, right. So that's it for today's countdown. Wayne, how can people get in contact with us before we tell them what we're doing next week?
You want to send us an email? Go right ahead at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com or on Facebook, just search for The Countdown Podcast. You'll see us there.
You can also get us on Twitter, where we are at TheCountdownPC. You can follow us on Podomatic. You can listen to us on Spreaker or Stitcher if you don't have iTunes or don't like iTunes. And speaking of iTunes, this is the part where we plead. Leave us a rating, leave us a review. It's the only way that we can rise up the rankings and get our show out there to more people. So we'd really appreciate it if you could spend that 15 seconds clicking on that star rating. And if you can do a little bit more and write a sentence or two, we will be massively appreciative.
With that, we will.
We have some big shows coming up on the countdown, including next week our Oscar special. The 88th Academy Awards. We're going to be doing our countdown of their worst decisions that they've made in major categories in recent times.
And they've made some whoppers.
Have they ever? So Wayne and I are going to go back through the years and pick those films we think have been overlooked, those roles that have been overlooked, or those directors that have not been honoured for what was some stellar work, and let you know what they are. And then we are going to do a little bit of a competition between Wayne and I. We've picked 7 categories from the upcoming Oscars. We're going to nominate the film that we think is going to win, or each of us think is going to win.
Yep.
And then the film we want to win based on our heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay. Going to be fun.
The week after that, Wayne, what are we doing?
The week after that, we're going to review Zoolander 2, if it stays in the cinemas long enough for us to see it. It's not getting a lot of great reviews. But we're also then going to count down our favorite top 10 best actor-director movies.
Mm.
And for that, we're going to get my significant other in, Bridget, who has become a popular follow for some people. And so, and me.
That's right. So we'll welcome her back for her first show in 2016.
Yes.
And then beyond that, we are talking to the Something Something podcast about guesting on their show. And then look out for us in one that has been confirmed. In mid-March, Wayne and I will be appearing on the Epic Film Guys to talk amongst their lead up to Batman vs. Superman. These guys, along with my co-host here, could not be more excited for that film.
Paul could not be more lukewarm. BT Dubs, I love The Epic Film Guys.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that like a motherfucker.
It's going
to
be great. So we're going to be talking on their episode where they go back to retrospectively review the three Nolanverse films, the Batman films, as well as Superman Returns.
This is so up my alley that it could be a black cock. I absolutely want to have a, like, total big-ass discussion about Batman, Superman, all that shit.
Alright, I thought you'd say you want to have a total big-ass discussion about something else then. For a second, but okay, on that wonderful mental note, because I've kind of lost my will to live. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
Thanks for checking out the show. Hope you'll tune in again next week.
See you soon.